Blog Talk Radio.
Good afternoon. Thank you so much for joining us today. This is Kathy Santos with Women Veterans Speak, our Monday program at noon here in the city of Philadelphia. I'm the founder of the National Alliance of Women Veterans, headquartered and based in the city of Philadelphia, and we're glad to have you join us today. And we would like to thank our listeners and supporters for who regularly tune in to listen about women veterans issues and just concerns in the veterans community. And today we will be talking about some of the issues that are being covered across the country concerning women veterans and how they are progressing on certain issues such as military sexual trauma. And we're just delighted that we could continue with this platform and talking about, you know, some of these topics that are so important. I would like to begin our discussion with a follow-up of our Flag Day activity on June 14th, where we were able to celebrate the rededication of the grounds of the park, Roosevelt Park, dedicated in Camden, New Jersey, adjacent to Philadelphia here. So close proximities, and I think a lot of the activities kind of transcend. Even though we're in different states, we're just minutes apart, and a lot of the activities are shared, and a lot of the platforms are shared, and I was pleased to attend and participate. In the activities. I'm looking here at the meeting of the Advisory Committee on Women Veterans Affairs. And the secretary, if I may just read the first top portion here, the Secretary's Advisory Committee on Women Veterans met in Washington, D.C., March 20th to 22nd, 2012. Many of these committee members are recently appointed, and just want to keep abreast of what their direction is for the women veterans community. They are retired veterans, many from the medical community. We just want to continue to stay abreast of some of their activities and discussions to hear what direction they have for women veterans. With there being such a broadened outreach from various levels within the community, just want to see how they are coming together at the most important, in the most important roundtables and discussions where they will ultimately impact policy and legislation. And it reads, veterans, the Secretary of Veterans Affairs met with this committee to discuss issues with respect to health care, rehabilitation, compensation, outreach, and other programs and activities administered by VA designed to meet such needs. The committee makes recommendations to the Secretary on such programs and activities. The agenda included updates on recommendations for the 2010 report, which was, in my opinion, a little bit obsolete on some of the issues that we all need to fast forward to some of the present, more life-challenging concerns. That's my opinion. I don't think many of that was in the 2010 report, which we discussed that in the future, which I've read that, and I thought that this reconvening or to establish this new set of individuals at the table would bring another dynamic. So they're probably using old information to address the in 2010, and still we have a lot of concerns that we're not getting our information. I do believe that. So let me just talk a little bit about the overviews of the Veterans Health Administration. The Veterans Benefit Administration, Women Veterans Health, Strategic Healthcare Group, and briefings on mental health, legislative issues, research, rural health, and homeless initiatives for women. I just have to flip to another screen just to read what's going on. Let me just talk a little bit about the membership here, which they do. We have a colonel, retired Army Reserves, of 28 years, both of active and reserve duty. We have the Commander Terry Brown, United States Coast Guard, Reserves, Lieutenant Colonel Jack Phillips, the United States Navy, retired. Looks like he had about 8 years in the Marine Corps, serving as a gunnery sergeant. Then there was Captain Nancy Glowowski, Herbs, Colonel Nancy Kazor, served more than 28 years. Doesn't really say she's gone to Kuwait, Afghanistan, and Iraqi operations, which is interesting, and I think would add an awesome dynamic, the strongest so far that I think that could be a present-day advocate for some of the current issues on the topics of healthcare, particularly. Lindsay Long served in the United States Marine Corps 1997 to 1998 for 1 year as an aviation electronics technician trainee. Okay. She has an associate's degree in environmental health. Okay. And is a member of various state and nonprofit women's veterans organizations. She's from San Pueblo. I think that means that she is probably Native American. I'm not sure. Specialist Latoya Lucas, United States Army retired. She served from 1999 to 2004 as a heavy construction equipment mechanics driver. She served in Iraq, which I'm not sure what that means on the issue of addressing a national concern. First Sergeant Delphine Forster, Reserves. She served about 18 years, looks like, Reserves. And she has a liberal arts degree, an associate's degree in psychology, and looks like she served 2 years in support of Desert Storm. Not exactly sure how that translates. Lieutenant Colonel Terry Moore, retired. She retired from the Air Force in 2003, Lieutenant Colonel Moore from Maine. Robin Patrick, Navy Reserves. I was like, did about 4 or 5 years, 4 years in Reserves. Colonel Torres, retired, warrant officer. She has a master's degree from Webster University. And looks like we have a vast array, but I'm not hearing the type of strength that represents nationally a consortium of individuals that could truly represent our issues. So I'm not sure how these individuals are chosen, probably by the legislative leadership represented in Washington, D.C., but certainly this particular group of people, I see one here who's serving on the Dakowitz Committee, which I think that may DA Advisory Committee on Women Veterans Membership Profile. Let me just read a little bit of this. University and completed doctoral work at the University of the Incarnate Word. What are we talking about here? You see. Colonel Philip Torres. His career included service in the Republic of Vietnam from February 1968 to March 1969, where he was meritoriously combat promoted twice and awarded the Silver Star Medal. His many military accomplishments include building and directing the Military Corps Correction School at the Air Force Security Police Academy, Lackland Air Force Base in 1982, and serving as commanding officer, headquarters, and service company. He was appointed to the Department of Defense Advisory Committee on Women in the Services, Dakowitz, from 2007 to 2011, and served as the chairman of the Women's Wellness Subcommittee. Well, know that Washi was, but certainly we have a lot of strong women who are advocating now, who I'm proud to say that I've met a couple of those women that are swimming on deck with, and certainly we have a strong representation for getting information to the various cabinet level individuals, and that's something that we should be proud of, and to know that we do have somebody that is representing our issues at the levels needed. So, you know, I am pleased today to have a strong supporter from our community who has been throughout the most crucial parts of the advocacy, despite the fact it's centered around the Philadelphia, it reverberates across this country. I hear it, the tone is being set, but some of the root of a lot of the discussions were in Philadelphia, and I don't know if our callers want to have comments, but I'm going to open it up to call it 1939 if there are any comments that you would like to make with regards to where you believe we have come since you initially became a supporter, or you became aware, and your level of awareness was enlightened in on the issue of women veterans in the veterans community. Are there any comments that you'd like to make at this time, having spoken to the community of veterans on the issue of women veterans and being involved in some of the platforms that are shared here locally in Philadelphia? Were there any comments that you would like to make at this time? Well, I'm assuming that they're going to just listen in. So we're just going to respect that and allow them to listen in on some of the things that we're talking about, and just know that we are just pleased to have those who commit to listening to our platform and to support. You know, I think we've come a long way over the last years, and certainly in recent months, there's been a lot of discussion under this administration and resolving the issue of homelessness. And in the city of Philadelphia, there are several facilities in construction to house veterans and women veterans. And so we are well on our way to meeting the objective by President Obama and the mandate given to General Shinseki to end homelessness in 5 years, which this is year 2012, which would be the fifth year that initiative would have put in place on ending homelessness. So we have come a long way. There's been a lot of funding shared on the issue of addressing homelessness at various agencies at every level of government. So we are well on our way to resolving one of the most crucial problems that existed. Hopefully that is a resolution, but it's a temporary solution to a long-term problem when many of these veterans have families and they need to have some stability and to have the option of utilizing their GI bills and their home ownership benefit that many veterans acquired or obtained when they served or entered into contract with the United States government. And a lot of the situations that are occurring, that the circumstances are resulting in homelessness, we must know is not an option. I think for the veteran, they would rather be in their homes. They would rather own their own homes and be empowered. So a lot of the dynamics that are not being addressed, so we began talking a little bit last Monday when we had a little bit of technical problem, but certainly we are going to be talk a little bit more about empowering the women veterans into home ownership, particularly to utilize their GI bills. And the one thing that has to happen is we need to address the employment issue. And once that employment issue is addressed, certainly some of the other dynamics that have affected that credit issues, you know, some of those circumstances that actually were beyond the control of individuals, that we know once empowered will create another dynamic and another market for real estate, where they're not the developers becoming wealthy at the expense of creating such a short-term, if you will, opportunity for those who desire long-term security in home ownership and wealth-building opportunities. I think home ownership would create both of those dynamics. So you know, I think that it's a good idea to continue to talk about those things that empowers women veterans, establishing lifelong opportunities for veterans and sustainability. So this is where I believe that my discussions are targeted, and they're focused, and it's important that we continue to have these conversations and advocate not also for those who are in a need, but we have various levels of healing and wholeness that are existing in our community, but the opportunities are broadening. So as they become more available and accessible at the various levels, let us talk about empowering for those who are less challenged by the health concerns and desire to be empowered and at qualifying levels for home ownership and empowerment of wealth building and sustainability. And I think that would send a different kind of message and a model for what could be said when we're talking about how veterans can see their future, giving them a hope on what their expectations can be when they're at the various levels of achieving certain goals, when in homelessness or when transitioning to whatever level of they need to begin to create their various levels of comfort, whether it's in a independent living facility, whether it's dependent living facilities, whether these are transitional, whatever the situation may be, that every platform is available. And I don't hear enough talk about home ownership. Now, participating in the presidential White House and the SBA Women's Veteran Entrepreneurship Program, that program is a great program, but I understand from reading several books that women veterans are becoming empowered and their entrepreneurial desires are being fulfilled, getting help at every levels of government. However, somehow, at some levels, some communities, these things are not being realized, and we want to make sure that we continue to advocate because there's a need to until we strengthen these platforms. And I think that it'd be great that women veterans themselves begin to speak out on some of the desires that they have for owning their businesses, owning their own homes, you know, and having some real discussion about how they can make that happen. And this could be very much legislated, but all the same dynamics of homelessness that exist certainly could translate into discussions for manifesting some realities in the lives of those who are at the other levels for accomplishing different goals in their lives. So just like any other population, there's a uniqueness in dealing with the characteristics, whether you are a veteran, presently a strong topic on the LGBT community. There are different characteristics for empowering these different people because there are different discriminations and different other issues that we face. So they need to be talked about in a way where they are getting into the ears of those that can make a difference. And I hope that the Women Veterans Advisory Committee can begin to listen in. Now, since this committee has come together, I don't think that I've had any discussions or written any letters that would share at the level that I'm hearing their discussion. So I want to continue to talk about, you know, what is important so we can begin to write letters and maybe get into down in Washington to one of those forums because they are open to the public when they share the quarterly meetings at the Women Veterans Center for Women Veterans and the Advisory Committee convenes. They're open to the public. And it, any women veteran that can get in on those meetings and share their stories and information, I think it may be a good idea. And I would urge any woman veteran to go and participate in those forums that are open for the public in Washington, D.C. Then you would hear the various similarities and common issues that come together all in one place. And we want to make sure that the outreach makes sense when they say outreach. I know that the outreach is limited, and certainly they are very I want to say, restricted to who outreach, who does the outreach. Because even at the local VA hospital, they're very restricted out what information goes out, who can get information. However, you know, it's disappointing to see the legislators go there and bring information out that actually has no real value to the veterans. Very generic, but certainly want to make sure that all stones are unturned with regards to, you know, what's going on with regards to issues of, like, I'm particularly concerned with, and that's the research and some of the other things that are going on that are just specific to certain communities. And I believe that certain communities are at a disadvantage when they don't have computers and when they don't have the technical abilities to navigate through the online activities where there's information and resources made available that you would never know about it if you don't have a type of computer. So we want to make sure that they're being fair in disseminating the information. And I think that there's an urging for veterans to join the My Healthy Vet. That's an online health portal where they can compile, well, your information, your medical record is compiled. So as much as I know that a lot of the information of my medical records I would not want on any computer, certainly not in a public forum where, you know, hacking and accessing the government controlled portals are possible. I'm just a little reluctant to do that. And I've been urged, they actually were paying people $10. $10 to join in this portal to help My Healthy Vet. You know, where your information is compiled as like a centralized health documentation website for veterans. And the information is all set there, and, you know, all your medications, and you can get information about your medical care there. But so can anybody else. And so, you know, I'm just a little bit lucky to do that. And I would love to take the $10 over, though that $10 was a little bit enticing, and many people were in receipt of the $10 that they offered at the Philadelphia VA to sign up. And, you know, just a little bit, it concerns me greatly. Now, we had $26.5 million records of veterans and some additional records compromised. Since 2007, and the first set of records were taken out of St. Louis, Missouri, where the personnel department of the Department of Defense is located. So, you know, you have to question, you know, what is the capability of the government to secure this information and without compromising or jeopardizing the lives of the veterans who are in most cases, being so vulnerable without their knowledge, trusting the government to protect them and their information. So we're going to continue to listen out for how that My Healthy Vet website portal is maintained, and complaints or any issues of the information being comprised, and just stay on top of things like that. Because I think the government has a great intent. They want to be as transparent as possible to the veterans community. But where there's good, there's always evil present also. So I know, and I know that my records were challenged and compromised and misrepresented in information. And there's a lot of legislators in my city that have accessed my information through some medium or the other, and it's a little bit unfair, you know. And the ability for the government to share information, whatever reason, you know, I, despite the fact that it's against the law, you know, the United States government has a way of doing things and not being held accountable for it. But in the city of Philadelphia, you know, I know it's greatly compromised because the government and the legislators, they are partners and so many platforms, and it's hard for the veteran themselves to have insight and oversight into what the going on is. And I met with the public affairs director at the VA hospital, Fern Dillett, and, you know, she was a little bit aggressive and somewhat belligerent, you know, in defending her role there as whatever many hats that she wears. I think it's a little bit unfair that I think her many positions compromises her role as a person in charge of the records. I think that she doesn't require a security clearance and She's also the congressional liaison, so how can one be trusted as an advocate for the veterans to represent when you also are the public affairs person that's also protecting the image and not allowing certain information to be shared, or you're sharing particular information to give the better light for the benefit of the VA to have a good image. And I think it's unfair. I think it's unfair to the veteran. I think it's unfair to all concerned, because we will continue to have these problems that have been occurring over the many, many years of complaints from veterans. We have no grievance process, you know, a fair grievance process, other than to publicly come out against these people that guard information and activities that could set veterans free from these type of activities. So, you know, it's a battle that's uphill, you know, and hopefully when it's all said and done, it's all over, that these veterans will come together themselves and begin to fight, because it's a great deal for one individual to take on such these powerful entities, and it's a dangerous thing, in my opinion. So I'm going to continue to do what I can to talk about it at the level that I can, with some level of comfort and security. And certainly, I hope fully that that this discussion will be shared at the various tables. I just won't go to a table where there are legislators who are in control of the platforms. I just think it's unfair and not necessary for legislators to have these platforms when they have veterans who need to have a more open discussion, a more transparent, where the legislators themselves can be held accountable for what they can or cannot do in their position. So we'd like to thank you for joining us in our program today. This is Kathy Santos once again in Philadelphia. Women Veterans Speak. We will continue to talk about the specific issues that are on the table with the Women Veterans Advisory Committee in Washington, D.C., certainly DACA-WICS, which is an advisory committee to the Pentagon and the various cabinet-level agencies that address and deal with veterans' issues. The issue of military sexual trauma certainly is a continual discussion at every level of government, and certainly we're glad that this administration has went over and beyond for addressing the issues concerning women veterans, military sexual trauma being one of the most key and major factors that impacts a woman veteran when transitioning. And we are getting to the root of some of those causes and how they are affecting the person who is a victim, and how they're able to get back on track once transitioning back to their permanent homes of record throughout the country. And we are hoping that we can continue on the work that's been started, and we are supporting any types of activities that will allow for us to get involved at whatever level to ensure that this administration is able to continue its work and finish this great work being started for the veterans community, that our advocacy is being heard, and our outreach has extended beyond borders, and the women veterans can hear the sounds of help. And we know that we are in a better place today because of this administration and all of those who are concerned and have become supporters of the veterans community, who have opened up their doors, and we know that they have extended themselves beyond measure, created platforms, thrown in their resources, houses, whatever access that they have extended to the veterans community. We know that it is now available. We just want to make sure that we continue to talk about it. And we just want to thank all of the listeners for joining us today. And please listen to our archive shows from previous episodes on our website at www.nawvphilly.com. That's www.nawvphilly.webs.com. nawvphilly.webs.com. Please stay tuned for our next Monday's program, where we will continue to talk about these issues. Please have a wonderful day. Thank you so kindly for joining us. We'll talk to you next week.